it. Let's see, today is Tuesday, February 21st, even though it feels like a Monday. It's 2 o'clock Eastern Time PSS group, and this week we're talking about compassion. But before we go into that, let's talk about how everybody's doing. So, if you would check in and celebrate. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. This is David.
Okay.
Let's see. Things are going mostly all right with our 11-year-old. He was actually able to do a little bit of his homework ahead of time on the holiday Monday. So, of course, he had consented to do that, but he did it. So I take that as a positive.
Good. What was the incentive?
He could actually continue on with his screen time. It was just a continuation of something he probably would have gotten to do otherwise. So.
Gotcha. But pretty powerful, and it worked, right? Just the way it was supposed to?
Yeah, he had to think about it for a little while, but he did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Catherine, what do you want to celebrate?
He's doing really well with his tutor still, and he got an A on his last math test.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Good. So that's been going on for a while, right? I mean, that's continued success with the math tutor and with math, yeah?
This is his third A since he's been tutoring.
That is awesome.
Hopefully to other areas, because his spelling is at the 33% level.
It's not good.
So let's just stop for a second and focus on the celebration and honor the moment of math before we move on to spelling. Because that's pretty awesome. Very cool. Kelly, what do you want to celebrate?
I was trying to think of something. So oddly, this is kind of an odd thing to celebrate, but I was kind of pleased at the way that he did not freak out that bad. There was a second grader in my child's school who brought a loaded gun to school last week.
Oh, my God.
It was, yeah. But actually, it was handled beautifully. Like, everything was done before school. Apparently, he told another kid. The other kid went to a teacher, backpack, everything was confiscated. Everything was done before school even started. So except for the parents finding out by a letter at the end of the day, our children's day was completely not interrupted. I actually thought they handled it beautifully. Some parents thought they should have let us know earlier, but everything was fine. Everybody's safe. But so obviously this was talked about, and I was – already going to harp on the child that told the teacher what a hero he was, and without me saying anything, like, that's the first thing Rick said, is that little boy really did the right thing. And I was just really, I was really glad that was the first, because his father's first inclination was, we pull him out of the school, blah, blah. And then, a lot of parents already feel like that. And I was really, like, he actually was very calm about it, and he just was like, Mommy, that one little boy was such a hero. And I was just really glad at his response.
Oh, my
gosh.
That's
a celebration.
Wow, that is a huge celebration. Oh, my goodness. So I'm just curious because I have to – that sometimes things come up like that are kind of bigger than other things and will distract me until I know a little bit more information. how old was the kid and what did they end up – how did they end up handling it with the kid?
Well, he was 8. My children go to a magnet school. And apparently he made threats. That, of course, is much scarier than just the fact that a kid brought a gun to school and had access to a gun. But the gun, by the way, was locked. There's absolutely no way anything could have happened because the kid he didn't know that. And apparently it was locked. Unfortunately, it was the grandfather's gun who is an Army veteran. And I don't know, I'm sure he's probably pretty careful with that kind of stuff, but he is going to face charges for that. And the child will no longer be going to school there. So I guess in this county, he will have to be homeschooled for a year. they won't let him back in any school in the county. But when they do, it'll probably be his zoned school.
Mm.
So, but mm-hmm. I feel real, I mean, I don't know. I feel a lot of compassion for he and his family too, because I don't really think a seven or eight, and he's eight, I'm sorry. I don't think that he,
yeah.
I don't think he understands the implications of what he did. Not that I necessarily want him in the same school with my child. I hope that there's a lot of help there and resource. I hope that they can access some resources there. That's all.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm glad that everything ended as well as it possibly could have. I mean, that's the best case scenario on mm-hmm. so many fronts. Oh my gosh. How scary. Wow.
Yeah, it was, but it was also, I think, like I said, a celebration at the way that my child, I thought, leapt to a very insightful conclusion almost immediately. I was really proud of him.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he's an impulsive kid, right? We all have impulsive mm-hmm. kids who my kid has no access to guns, as we have none in my home, but I'm not dumb enough to think that he wouldn't try to impress his buddies by bringing something inappropriate to school and not really thinking through the consequences of that, you know?
Gosh. So, I mean, if nothing else, it's an opportunity for conversation on so many different levels.
Yes.
And brave.
Yep.
Gosh. Wow. Okay. I love what you said, too, about being concerned about the kid and his home life and making sure that he gets the help that he needs. You know, that's kind of goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, acknowledging and validating, and then also our topic for this week, which is compassion. And so they're all kind of interconnected. And before we move on to compassion, we're going to go back around and kind of take aim, too. I need to clear that emotion out for a second, because I can't imagine. I mean, that we've been very fortunate here that that's not happened. And wow, cool. So, taking aim. You guys are old hats at this. you've all three done it several times. But just to refresh, you know, we're taking aim on the change that we want to see or what we want to be different. We're trying not to take aim on a strategy. Actually, Elaine and Diane and I had a long conversation about this last week and kind of the concept of taking aim and what we want out of that specific part of the call. And the truth is, you know, we want what you guys want. We want to help you identify what you need to focus on or take aim on or turn your attention to. And we just want to make sure we're picking out something that is not a strategy, something that is a change, a situation that needs to be different, an overall, you know, feeling, something along those lines. And so as you're thinking about what you want to take aim on, keep that kind of in the back of your mind, and then just whenever you're ready, jump on in.
This is Kelly. Speaking of screen time, that is something that I got him for his birthday. He turned six, and I got him a tablet from Verizon. And I was super excited because it was really for kids, and it has the skin on it, the skin, you know, games, and he can't just download anything. I have to. And he had played Minecraft Creative on his sister's iPad, and I was dumb enough to download it for him. And he just doesn't use it in the same way, and perhaps it's because he's not as mature, obviously, in many ways as his sister. And he does not build anything. He simply destructs things to acquire more is the pattern I've seen. And I really don't like it. I don't know if you just take it off if the time – I mean, there is limits to his time on there, but when you take him off of it or say, hey, you've had your time, or you have to do this before you get – I always get resistance, and I'm sure you all do too. I think yours is a little older than mine. So I don't know if there just might be some tips there on how to manage it better. And the tip may be take it off of his iPad. He just didn't do it.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, no, that's good. So the change that you want to see is it the way that he approaches the game itself, or is it the way that he transitions away from the game, or is it
I think
something
it's how
else?
He transitions away from it. Yeah, I think that. Yeah. Okay, I think that is probably it. How you, because I mean, if that he would do that all day, every day, if that's what you let him do.
Okay. So it's about his ability
to disengage. So how you transition him away from that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. David and Catherine.
We have the same problem.
Yeah. It doesn't get better.
No.
there is a little pushback getting off. But I've been reading a little bit about entitlement, and I want to take aim on getting him to help around the house more. He's got some chores, but he really only does them if he's kind of harassed to do them a lot of the time. So I want to put a chart, and I have the chart. I just have to fill it out, put it on the fridge, and then come up with a few more things that he can do, that he's able to do, not for allowance, but just in general to feel like he's helping around the house. Because it's not really, it's kind of like we're his people that follow him around and clean up after him. And he doesn't really feel need to, you know, clean up after himself. So I want to try to move in that direction.
He has more about entitlement. Just for 1 second. I want to make sure where we're falling there. Is it about entitlement? Is it about chore completion? Is it about lessening your workload?
Kind of like more about not saying you have to buy me a new fill in the blank because he needs it, and you know it's an attitude, and it's going to take a while to change. But I think from what I'm reading a little bit, it should help to try to get him to feel more helping around the house. I don't know. I could be deceiving myself, but
no, not at all, not at all. I do want to drill down on that a little bit more, but we'll come back around to it. Catherine, what about you?
I would say the same thing, because, as David said, you know, you have to get me a new whatever if something breaks or.
It's not if it's broken, if it's scratched, or it's a scooter and it's like he slides it along metal and it, you know, gets scratched. It's like that's what you do with it. He wants a new one. So.
Yeah.
Because it's ruined with a scratch, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But
he's also
thing.
The kid that takes things home and puts stuff back together, right? That finds things and.
Yeah, or takes them apart and then generally can put them back together, but not always. And then we have to buy him a new one if he doesn't, quote unquote, need to buy him a new one or have to.
He
took a bunch of Nerf guns apart and he got really frustrated. He couldn't put them back together. I couldn't put them back together. So he's kind of gotten off the idea that we have to buy him a new one. Maybe he'll think twice before taking apart another working one, but anyway.
Okay. So you're taking aim, Catherine, if I want to make sure I'm capturing it, more on his approach to things or his attitude that if something is broken, regardless of how it got broken, he deserves a new one?
Yeah, that's generally the point.
Let's say it again. That's what?
And he, as I just said, he needs to take more responsibility doing things around the house.
Okay.
What are you talking
more about earning.
I
heard him in the right direction.
I know.
I didn't hear you, David. I'm sorry. What did you say?
But he's not going to wake up and do that. We have to kind of herd him in that direction.
Right. And, you know, some of that, too, and we'll get there, is just age, right? You know, some of that is that our kids' brains just aren't developed enough physically and don't have all the connections yet that they need in order to think about anyone besides themselves. And then when you put the, you know, apply the 3 to 5 year developmental delay to that, I mean, that's neurotypical kids, you know. There were all those studies about teenagers and their inability to think about any, you know, to appear so selfish and self-centered. And in reality,
their brains just aren't developed enough to find anything other than themselves interesting. And, you know, when we apply that 3 to 5 year developmental delay to our children's brains, which, you know, all of our kids have some variation of that delay, it just becomes that much more prevalent. And so I think it's going to be a combination of things in terms of instilling that appreciation for things and respect for others and appreciation for, you know, a sense of gratitude, I guess, and giving back. But we can absolutely put some things in place and work towards that as a goal. And I think compassion is going to be the perfect topic, shockingly, to talk about that. Cool. All right, so compassion is on page 42 in your workbook. I think it's 42, might be 43, looks like 42. If you've read it, great. If you haven't, great. Don't worry about it. We can certainly catch you up on it. It's pretty straightforward. I think people get a little confused because it is very similar to acknowledging and validating, which is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. But the key difference is, you know, in acknowledging and validating, what we're doing is really just recognizing what they're feeling, and we're not passing judgment on it. You know, we're not necessarily agreeing with it. We're not saying that what they're feeling is bad or wrong or anyway, by any means, but we're just saying, hey, you feel this way, I get it. And when we're talking about compassion, it is more like empathy in terms of we're feeling what they're feeling. You know, we're recognizing their pain and recognizing their joy. Our kids do experience a lot of frustration, right? And we do have to resist that urge to rush in and rescue them to some extent. But if we can put ourselves in their place, and we talk about, you know, shifting perspective and shifting expectations and acknowledging and validating, parenting positively and compassion, it's all about really how we perceive them and how we perceive what they're feeling and what they're seeing and what they're going through, and how we kind of cross that bridge to meet them where they are so that we can really understand where they're coming from. You know, when we're thinking about things like senses of entitlement, or the fact that the scooter is broken, let's say, or it's just scratched and it's not, you know, no one would call it broken, but maybe it's now no longer perfect. You know, what else could be going on there? And when we talk about that story that you tell yourself in your head in terms of, you know, what does it mean that a scratch on a scooter means that he needs a brand new scooter, and where does your fear take you after that? And what could be going on in your son's head that may have nothing to do with the fact that the scooter he needs or deserves a new scooter. And I'm just using scooter as an example, obviously. And it could be anything or any object or really any topic. But when we use our compassion and we're able to meet our kids where they are and we're able to kind of understand where they're coming from, we're better able to understand why they act and behave the way that they act. What's coming up for you guys? Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
A little hard to do, I think, but it makes sense.
Very hard. So what can we do to get through that process? Or what can we do so that our kids know that we understand them? Or that we understand where they're coming from?
Well, I think Tyler doesn't talk about things much. So
okay. It's
really hard to, you know, get down to what he's feeling. I think last time I shared that he finally got around to saying, you know, I don't want to be around grandma because I don't want to see her that way. Because mm-hmm. She has, you know, Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I remember.
That was the first time he has opened up about that. And otherwise, he doesn't really say things.
Yeah,
about
but
what's
I think
going
we
on.
Just have to kind of guess what might be, and then just kind of share similar things that we've experienced, which you did.
Yeah.
In that situation. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to do in the moment because it's just.
Oh, it is. So. Yeah. No, I completely agree. You know, I always try to think about just for me when my kids are trying to interrupt me or trying to get my attention and I'm very clearly working on something and how easy it is for me to get very impatient, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of something and I'll be with you in 5 minutes and it's my 5 minutes are not up yet. And then when I'm trying to ask my kids to get off, you know, whatever Xbox or whatever game they're playing on their computer, and I keep bugging them and they snap at me, I try to remember that I'm very capable of doing the same thing because it's hard to transition when you're fully engaged in what you're doing. And sometimes just that empathy or that memory of how it feels to be interrupted yourself, at least for me anyway, makes it easier for me to approach them from a place of compassion. That doesn't mean that they get off the computer necessarily any easier. But I'm a little more patient with the snapping along the way. And sometimes, you know, I think if it's a chore or a responsibility around the house, you know, our first instinct might be to go to, God, you forgot to take out the trash or feed the dog again. You know, why can't you remember to do that? Now I'm going to have to do it for you. Or now someone's, you know, now the dog's hungry. You know, what if we were able to approach it from a place of, wow, it's really hard for you to remember to feed the dog. What can I do to help you with that? But our, like you said, in the moment, it's hard to find those words and to find a place where it doesn't have anything to do with us, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Kelly, what's coming up for you?
I mean, I think that would be a good way to deal with it. I try really hard to, you know, especially like it was a huge light bulb for me when I found out from you all that he is, you know, 2 to 3 years behind his peers emotionally. And I was wondering why I had a, at the time, 5-year-old who was still throwing tantrums. Well, that's what 3-year-olds do mm-hmm. when they don't get their way because they don't know how to express it. Mm-hmm. And I was much mm-hmm. more patient with my 3-year-old person than my 5.5-year-old person doing the same thing. And I can't say that it always works. There are still times that I lose my you-know-what because we all do, I guess. But I do think I try harder now to remember that, you know, why can't he get dressed by himself every morning when he knows what to do to go brush his teeth and then, you know, make his bed and put his shoes and socks on. That's all I'm asking, do those 4 things. And for him, that really is hard to remember.
Yeah.
It is. And even though it seems like we've been doing this now for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, whatever, since he's been, you know, going somewhere every day, for him, it's harder.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't, I mean, I don't know if it should or shouldn't be. It is what it is. And there's some people wear glasses. Some people have problems with executive functioning.
Exactly. And like you said, you know, the 4 things, if the 4 things are too many and it's hard for him to remember the 4 things, then focus on 3, you know, and just know that you're going to have to remind him about the 4th and you're doing that already.
Yeah.
And so can we take that a step further and apply it back to Minecraft? You said Minecraft, right?
Yeah, I'm not following you there, but I'm trying.
Okay. Well, so in terms of transitions, right, and recognizing that it's hard for him to remember those 4 things, what is a way to approach his game playing with more compassion?
Well, it is. I mean, the other day I was in the kitchen doing something, and I was making a meatloaf, and so I'm full of raw meat on my hands, and can you go do this for me? And it was something that he could do by himself. And I did. I lost it. I was like, can you not? I mean, I didn't lose it, but can you not see what I'm doing? Can you not see that I'm in the middle of something, you know? And, yeah, I mean, just to have compassion that for him, That's just as difficult as me stopping, washing my hands with antibacterial soap and hot water, drying my hands, and then go doing something that he probably could do by himself,
right?
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and as frustrating as that is, it is what it is, right? I mean, there's even my 13-year-old with autism, he, you know, when that, clearly I need a hand, you know, something's falling, the baby's crying, you know, the whatever, something spilled, and there's, you know, it is still almost impossible for him to transition away from what he's doing in the moment to jump up and help. And so, you know, we've just learned to not expect it unless there's some way to, you know, physically engage him in it in the moment, and there almost never is. And just letting go of that expectation to some extent, or setting a more realistic expectation for us, has made a huge difference. But you were talking about removing the app from his iPad. And how likely is that to be successful? What is his reaction likely to be?
Oh, it's going to be a huge tantrum and sulking and probably going in his room and slamming his door and all of those things that he does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's got a disc for the Xbox too. I mean, I could take that away as well. That doesn't seem to work as well as the one on his little iPad. So he seems to get more frustrated with that. I don't know why, but maybe it's just because he has to use the actual, they don't call them joysticks anymore, whatever they're called. Opposed to his iPad where he could, the controller.
He's physically more engaged with it.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but
I don't know either. But I think that's probably it.
I'm more worried, I guess, about the content of the game and how he uses it. Or is it just that he's a boy? He's three, he's 3 years younger, and then he's kind of 2 years younger than that in some ways. So the fact that he's not building cities and finding the same kind of enjoyment in the same way that she is, which is why I was okay with her doing it on creative mode, because she was building all this really cool stuff and being very creative, that even having that expectation for him is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is too mature for him. Maybe it is too mature for him.
Maybe. Is all of his Minecraft education from his sister, or has he been taught how to do the other things?
Yeah, it's from his sister, and he's watched her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our son has used Minecraft a lot, and he enjoys blowing up stuff. It took him a while to want to build stuff. He hasn't really played it very much lately. I think he just got tired of it. But I think it's also a little intimidating to see some of the fancy things that people build. And, I mean, remember, you got to do it a block at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much easier.
Well, that's a great point.
This is the compassion part.
Yeah.
It's much easier.
Good job. You're doing great, David.
There's a lot of people in Minecraft, the shared version. I don't know how that one that your son uses, if it's shared worlds or it's just a copy of something or what. But they're called griefers, and they basically come along and they just destroy stuff. They cause grief. And, you know, I don't know if it's phase or it's just, you know, I don't know. But it's your son isn't the only one.
Yeah. And I think some of this came up after the school shooting stuff. It's kind of not shooting, but bringing it to school. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff kind of came up in my head. Like, okay, I don't know what this kid is exposed to and whatever, but I sure don't want my kid to be focused on hurting. And, you know, and I think we've done a fairly good job with that. But that has come up as a fear, of course, you know.
and just
lots of attention on it. And then, like, how hard it – I mean, you can walk in a room and say, hey, sweetheart, and he won't even look up. You know, and right. And so my fear may be irrational just from what, you know, has transpired in the past week, but it just kind of made me look at our own patterns in our household and how does he act when he gets off of it? And is it something that I need to monitor a little bit more closely than perhaps I have? Or is this just normal? I've never had a boy. I was a girl raised by a single mom. I don't know. And my husband was on video games all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a yes and. I think it's normal for a boy. I think it's normal for a boy of his age. And I think it's something that we always want to monitor. But everyone has a different comfort level, right? And yours may be different from mine, from, you know, the next door neighbors, from whatever. And if you're concerned, the key piece is always to get to the heart of what's bugging you, what's picking at you, what's irritating you. Is it the loaded gun at school? Is it a fear? You know, that he, we all have kind of crazy fears, I think, sometimes that go in our heads.
He'll be that 17-year-old kid that actually does nothing. Yeah, he's that 17-year-old kid that does nothing but sit on the couch and,
Yeah, or worse, right? I mean, there's
right.
all kinds of ways we can go with that. But I think David may have touched on something that is a piece of it, too, and that's that perfectionism piece of ADHD, which I think we forget about, too. And, you know, why bother if I can't build this unbelievable world? Why would I even start? My sisters are so much better than mine. And I'm not saying that that's what he's thinking, but.
Well, he wants to play with her, apparently. Like, they can play together. Like, they can have their iPads right next to each other, and they can play in the same world. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
he really wants to do that with her. And I would say she'll do it 3 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks her, like, every day, you know. So I do think that – I think he enjoys what she can do. And maybe that is part of it, is he's frustrated because he can't. And that's, like, the way he wants to play with her.
Right.
What do you think her fear is?
She's just tired of him. It's her little brother. She just doesn't want to deal. She wants to.
He'll mess it up, maybe.
Yeah, he'll mess it up. Or she's not doing that. She's watching YouTube videos of YouTube kids videos of people playing with
people playing Minecraft.
The craziest stuff I've ever seen. Like, I'm like, why don't you just play with your American Girl doll? Why do you have to watch people play with their American Girl doll?
You know? I can't wait to see the research that comes out of that stuff, because it blows my mind. Hours of watching other people play video games instead of playing. Crazy.
So would it help you? I mean, like, I have tried the, you know, hey, you have 5 more minutes. And I've tried that transition, as I do with, hey, you have 5 more minutes because you have to go to the bathroom in 5 minutes. You got to stop, you know, just letting you know. And sometimes that's helpful, but most of the time it's not. And I don't know if that's just.
Yeah. So is it okay if I ask you some real specific questions around that?
Sure.
Okay. And so typically with coaching, we try not to be too directive, because I think all coaching and all coaches believe that the people we work with have the answers within. And so our goal or our process is to hopefully ask questions that help you uncover what the answers are. But sometimes it's, particularly with our types of kids, it's helpful to be a little more specific. But when you tell me it's 5 more minutes, what does that look like? Is he in the room with you? Do you yell
at him? I'll go in there and say, hey, you got about 5 more minutes. Okay.
Does he look up?
No, he often doesn't look up.
Okay. Do me a favor and try to see if you can get him to look up and look at you.
Okay.
And look you in the eye when you say the next reminder.
Okay.
And it may not work.
Okay.
But that's one piece. And then you can set up a behavior system or a reward consequence type of deal around how long it takes him to transition. You know, the goal is for him to transition right away at the end of the 5 minutes. But based on, you know, past experience, that's not likely to happen anytime soon, it sounds like. You know, he may need additional time. You have to set up the program so that you're not making it okay for him to have additional time, but you're rewarding how quickly he gets off. So if he gets off in less than 3 minutes after you've given the final warning, what's the reward look like?
Okay. Maybe tomorrow you can have 10 minutes more or 5 minutes more if you do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe in an hour. Yeah. I don't know what your structure is like.
Yeah, they normally have to, like, go play outside for, you know, 30 minutes, and they have to read a book, which is more looking at pictures. But he can read some words. And they have to do something creative, like to draw or make something. So they basically have an hour and 10 minutes, so they have to do something else before they can get on there for a half an hour at a time.
Okay.
And they're only having their home from like 5:30, and then they go to bed. He goes to bed at 8, so he doesn't have, and they have to eat dinner and bathe. So that's about as much time as he can get typically, you know, in a night anyway.
Okay.
It's about 30 minutes.
So, I mean, yeah, depending on how you want to structure it, maybe additional e-time isn't going to be the best way to reward that. Maybe it is. Maybe, you know, I'm not a fan of stretching out the earning the reward until the weekend or several days in the future. If there's something that's more immediate that you could give him that works, and you know, you guys can sit down and discuss it and see what comes up. Mm-hmm. I know he's younger. But that's one potential plan. In terms of the, you know, the violence and the your concerns about how he plays Minecraft, what are some things that you can ask him to help understand that better?
I mean, I kind of started that, like, why don't you build things? And he was like, it's not fun. I just like to do this.
Cool. Does he work with Legos ever?
He has tons of Legos. He doesn't. He gets real frustrated because he, you know, Legos don't. I mean, I bought the regular kits that are just a, you know, box of Legos. But he, of course, as most little boys do, he wants the kits that you build something like Ninjago or Star Wars or whatever. And he'll he has some of the ones that are for his age. And then he gets real frustrated when he can't do it. You know, and he'll finally just be like, "You just do it." And then I'm like, you know, you don't have to make it look like this. You can do whatever you want with this. And he wants nothing to do with that. He either wants it to look like the Ninjago thing or the Star Wars thing, or he just puts it away and never touches it again. I mean, I personally think Lego has done a huge disservice by making these kits the way they are, because I think they've taken a lot of imagination out of Lego. That's my personal opinion. But they sell much more of that now than they do that, hey, here's a bunch of Legos. Go make something.
Yeah, go to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, it sounds more like that. It's that perfectionist piece then to me than anything.
Yeah, that's I didn't even think about that. So thank you. Yeah, that's huge. And maybe if I actually sit down and learned it and did it with him, I mean, that would be time to get together and something we could do together too. And I have no interest in that kind of thing, but maybe I need to develop one.
You know, that sounds like fun.
That sounds like
the building
fun.
And you know,
I would like that part.
Yeah. And you can talk, you know, you can model, you know, well, I can't figure this out, or this is really complicated, or, oh, you did, you know, we worked really hard to do that, and it's okay if it doesn't look perfect, or I don't know. You know, you can model kind of whatever you're thinking or you're hoping that he picks up on, and he can hear the compassion in your voice while you guys work together. I love everything about that plan. That's awesome.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right.
So what do you need to make that happen? Some Lego time, a Lego date.
A Lego date? Oh, I see. Just put some time down to do it. That's all.
Okay.
That's not hard.
Do you have free time coming up? That's not hard? Okay, cool.
This weekend, yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Groovy. All right, Darnells. Sense of entitlement.
Yeah. Yep. How to have compassion on that? I don't know. I mean, he I'm trying. Just, I think, spoiled. He's an only child, and I mean, you've probably given him more stuff than he should have. And you try to make him, you know, earn things, but, you know, he's can earn only so much versus the cost of things these days, especially the kind of, you know, he wants quote unquote custom scooters or skateboards and all those things. Not like the, you know, he's like, doesn't like the Walmart brands, you know.
Which okay.
It would, you know, but it's like, he's got like the caviar taste. And I don't know how we've done this.
On the McDonald's budget.
Yeah.
Well, our money is unlimited to him, you know. It's not a problem if we have to spend money on him, to him.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't care. That's not really it's a giant amount. It's just the effect on his attitude and his sense of, I deserve this because I'm here and I don't have to help and I don't have to be polite and I just have to be here. So, you know, that's my take on it. I think he thinks differently, but I just don't know how differently.
Well, and when we don't get him something that he wants, he calls us cheap. But it is.
So that would trigger me. I don't know about you guys, but.
Yeah.
Getting over it, I think, or at least yeah. I am. But I've held back on explaining the, you know, I don't know, $300+ a month in counseling and this program. And
good.
You know,
good for you.
Camp, $6,000 or $7,000 or more. And yeah, it's just, it's just laughable.
Oh, it's only laughable because we all understand it.
We've yeah.
all been there and thought those thoughts. And I should take this moment to say compassion for ourselves is critical, too, because you know what we do is it is hard. It is so hard. And we mess up and we have all these fears and stories in our heads and preconceived notions and, you know, just the wrong impressions and the fears that people are criticizing us, and the majority of people who have kids like our kids don't stay married, you know, don't stay in healthy situations or have healthy partners. You know, the odds are that at least if you do stay married, your spouse or partner may end up on drugs or alcohol to help deal with all these strong emotions. And so it's very important that we recognize the toll that this takes on us and be compassionate with ourselves when we maybe don't respond in the way that, you know, is sort of the perfect example of compassion or perspective shift or empathy. Because it's going to happen. An important thing there, of course, is that we forgive ourselves and move on to the next thing. Keep trying. So I'm thinking about what, I mean, it almost sounds like a gratitude type of thing. So what kinds of things do you guys do as a family in terms of volunteering in the community?
Well, yeah, we've wanted to do that, but I've not found anything, I haven't really been proactive enough to really do that. Maybe something through our church, but we really haven't done that. So.
I volunteer at his school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm his room mom. And then I've started doing math centers for his teacher.
I think we're talking more like,
well,
like soup kitchen.
I know,
or like
but
giving
but,
toys to kids that are, you know.
Yeah, but that's something that I can do. Any scenes? He seems to like me.
I think he thinks you do that for him, as opposed
well,
to.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's both, right? I mean, it's a win-win. You get to volunteer at your kid's school and spend time with your kids, but you also get the volunteer piece in.
Yeah.
So but, we need to explore more things that we could do.
Yeah, to help him is to have more gratitude. I think that would be very good. I mean, if we could find something.
I'm not a coach at all, but I did this with my daughter. I took her to... I used to work at a food pantry. I used to volunteer once a week. I don't have the time any longer. And she went with me, I would say, about the 3 years I did it. She probably did it about 6 months of it. Total different attitude. And I really wish I would have done this with him. And I'm trying to figure out time in my schedule where I can take him. And all I had to say a couple times in grocery store was like, do you see what mommy can do? She can, anything you want or we need, mommy can put it in the cart and she buys it. Think about those people who have waited for 2 hours. They only get, and that's all they get, because she would see, because she would get it ready on the table for them. And that's all they get. And it was a huge, huge lesson for her. She is a much more giving person. She seems to definitely realize that you don't just get everything you want, and I've got to figure out a way to do it with him. And I really wish I would have had that time with him, because this was like when she was like from 3 to 6. She probably did it, you know, 6 months during those times. But, I mean, she – figured it out.
It had an impact.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it if you can find it in your schedule to do it. And I'm not judging anybody because I have not with him been able to find it.
And it's hard.
And I'm sure if I looked on a Saturday, I could find somewhere to take him to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a suggestion.
Yeah. No, thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. There's also, you know, I think that's kind of like the pinnacle, right? I mean, that is going to be the thing that has the most impact typically. when you're trying to teach gratitude or empathy or appreciation for what we have. But there's also, I'll post some books in the forum. There's several books that you can read with your kids or TV shows that are, you know, younger kid appropriate that kind of illustrate the disparities in the world. I'm going to help develop an appreciation for what we are blessed with and the importance of giving back. I think there was one more thing that I was going to mention. Gratitude lists, in order to write a gratitude list, you have to have some kind of appreciation of what you're grateful for. And maybe if you think that that's not something that he would respond well to, if you guys are interested in trying something like that or sharing them as a family or, you know, talking about it over dinner or something like that, just a recognition or a greater awareness of gratitude and the things that you're grateful for sometimes helps instill that and breed that as well.
Yeah, I have tried that. I have a post reward that says gratitude, and I've put things on it, and then, you know, everyone can put things on it, but it's been kind of put away. Maybe I can bring it out again and try to. Have more things that we all are grateful for.
Yeah, there's definitely some stuff there to do on a nightly basis. So.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Or weekly or whatever, whatever works for your schedule and your calendar. I'm sensing that there's something more there, and I'm not sure kind of where that's coming from. What are you guys thinking about or feeling right now?
Oh,
I could be totally wrong, so don't.
It's 11. We've gone really a long way, and I think it's just the sooner we start, the better, but I think it's not going to be that quick of a process.
No, it's not. And knowing that, I think, is important too, right? I mean, it's the easiest thing to forget, that 3 to 5 year developmental delay, and it's the thing that makes the most difference. And just remembering that it is going to take us a lot longer to make that difference than it is for a parent of a neurotypical kid. So what realistic action step are you guys willing to put in place, Darnell?
Well, I can get the gratitude chart or poster board out again, and at least do, you know, weekly, what are you grateful for, and put it up on the poster.
I'll talk to him nightly. I put him to bed most nights, read him story and stuff. So I'll take that up again. I tried to get him to think about that nightly, and I sort of lost, I don't know, not interest. Just, it wasn't doing anything, so I thought, I just sort of gave up. So I'll make myself a reminder and do that nightly, just to kind of get him primed.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Awesome. Let's see. So we kind of like fast forward to the last two questions. So let's go back around and went to the first two real quick. Like, what's your aha or your takeaway? Anybody?
Hey, my aha is if I could figure out how to put myself more in his shoes with the compassion, it would make trying to understand how to respond appropriately a little bit easier. So I don't know quite how to do that besides just give it a try when things are not blowing up too badly, but maybe on a medium level, and it'll be easier to try to do that. It's, you know, when things that go completely wrong and there's like cussing and yelling and, you know, worse, it's much harder to think rationally, but in something that's like, you know, laughable, it's a little easier maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. One goes off on his tirades, I give myself a timeout.
So. Good. It's important to have one calm parent.
Good. Otherwise, yeah.
So, David, what do you need to practice that, to practice feeling compassion or getting to a place of compassion?
Practice it. And just realize, planning for things that might trigger him and be ready, and then be ready to practice it. Like, I have to premeditate it, I think.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
Is it challenging to find the words? Or is the challenge more about kind of recognizing that you need to take a step back? Or something else?
Well, it's just more emotions in the moment. I mean, he's a very emotional kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean... He doesn't talk a lot. He yells more than he talks, I think. He just, it's hard not to have your blood pressure go up when you're being yelled at. So.
Yeah. You're kind of always at a, I don't know, like a 5 in terms of tension level.
Yeah, it varies, but just if everything, if he's just, you know, sitting on a screen all day, which is something we've learned that is a bad idea, you know, things are fine.
But they do it, yeah. I mean, it happens.
But, you know, something doesn't go the way he wants, then it's, you know, that's where the yelling comes out, so.
Yeah, because he doesn't have the tools yet to handle his disappointment or frustration. That's the only way he knows how to express it.
Well,
which doesn't make it any easier for you, but it's just.
Ever since I had my brain tumor, I have some problems with word finding, and that frustrates him, and he tries to correct me, you know. Oh, you didn't say that, or say that right, or whatever. So that frustrates me. And I try to stay calm about it, but sometimes it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Do you feel like he's like mocking you, or? Mocking what you've been through, or discounting it in some way?
I think he's mocking me, but what do you think?
No, I don't know if it's, I think it's honestly more of a he's just scared or not, it's just his reaction to the situation that he has no control over.
Yeah.
That's fear-based. Yeah.
But, you know, he's not particularly polite, so maybe, you know, he doesn't have a filter like I guess most kids.
Right.
Like AD.
But very few kids do, right? Some do. Right. Sometimes we, and it's an upcoming unit, and it's the say that a different way, or why don't you try that again, as a helpful phrase. And sometimes that's all you need. Here's how I heard that. It doesn't always work necessarily to say that, because sometimes that escalates the situation. But why don't you try that again, or say that a different way? Can sometimes make that shift that makes a difference. Gotcha. Okay. Kelly, what's your aha?
I mean, I think. That just kind of realizing that he does not have the tools to deal with this, even if it's something like I consider trivial, like put up the freaking iPad. He doesn't have the tools to deal with his frustration for that. And so my husband also has ADHD, and I bought a laptop for our family for on Sunday. And it is not an iPad. I mean, it's not an Apple product, because I was like, I'm sorry, that's not in the budget. This is what I can afford. And so I guess my husband was up till like 2 a.m. trying to figure out, like, he had installed Microsoft Office and he was, I don't know what he's trying to do. But anyway, he this morning just got up and he was like, you can just take that back unless you're going to use it. It's not going to work for me. And I was like, okay, but the desktop is running slowly. There's something wrong with it and we need Word. Like, we need Microsoft Office. Are you just saying I need to go buy that program? Well, no, I wouldn't put anything on the old one. I guess just keep it for you. I'm not going to use it. So anyway, we get through this whole thing, and he's just like, later he was like, I'm really sorry. It's just my ADD. Like, I can't handle two things. And when you sit there and you say, well, call Geek Squad. I bought 2 years of it. They'll walk you through it. Like, Tim, he's like, it's like you're my mom. You know? And I'm sure it, but I mean, just like, I mean, you know, I was so frustrated, and he was too. Nobody was yelling or screaming, but you could tell we were both kind of like, are you serious? I just, you know,
yeah.
I mean, come on.
I totally don't get that.
And
yeah.
Like, I mean, come on, like, figure it out. Like, I mean, there's resources. Go Google it, whatever, you know? And,
yeah.
And I think, like, when he finally said, I have, this is my ADHD stuff, and then I can't get off of it because I haven't figured it out. That's that perfectionism. But to, also for me to, like, Kelly, even at 38, he doesn't have the tools to deal with this kind of frustration. He doesn't know how.
Yeah. Oh,
you really
want
to make sure
that's
that Riggs
huge.
Does. You really want to make
yeah.
sure that Riggs does.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that was a really powerful moment. That's awesome. Unbelievable. Wow. Good for you. That's incredible. Very cool.
And I fail often at trying to make sure that Riggs does, but
you're not. No.
The intent is there. Yeah.
We don't need to use the F word. We're compassionate. And it is okay to fail. And one of our chapters is failing forward. And failure is how we learn, for sure. But in this scenario, it's not about failure. It's about finding other ways to succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful call. As always, let us know if you have any questions. Post stuff in the forum. If you have, you know, a topic that you're concerned about or something that you want to share, I'll look up those books on empathy and gratitude and put those in the forum as well. And shoot us a text or email. Otherwise, we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.